Welcome to the Imperfect Church Podcast, a podcast for the imperfect church and the imperfect pastors that lead them.
I'm Ryan Reed.
And I am John Martin.
And this is the Imperfect Church Podcast.
Yes, Ryan.
John, what you been doing today?
You don't want to know, really.
Okay.
No, I think I said last week, I mentioned something about this, that we were moving our offices off campus.
That's correct.
So we bought a building, and today I've been helping some guys. We've been renovating the building that we're moving into.
Nice.
Yeah.
So doing some destruction work?
Destruction and construction. We did some little construction today. So
that's fun.
You never know in the life of a pastor what your day's going to hold.
That's right. I've done a whole lot as a pastor that I didn't know that I would be doing as a pastor.
Yeah.
So it's the fun part.
That could be an episode, actually.
Yeah. Things that you've done as a pastor that you didn't know.
Yeah.
Or questions that you've dealt with.
Yes, exactly.
That may be tough, though.
Yeah, because you don't want to get into privacy issues.
That's right.
HIPAA violations.
That's right.
Yep. You know what a HIPAA violation is?
I don't. No.
Ryan.
Is that...
You don't know what a HIPAA violation is?
Like a hippo violation? I do know the hippos. They are like some rough creatures.
Yes.
Very territorial. Don't get near them.
HIPAA is the Privacy Act that for like hospitals and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So it's why, you know, used to... You don't remember this because you're not old enough. But used us old preachers... We could go into the hospital and they would give us a list of all the patients.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we could go through and just see if there's anybody on there that we knew.
Mm-hmm.
But because of HIPAA, this privacy law, now you know you have to go in and ask, you have to ask for their names.
Yeah.
And in some hospitals, you have to know their like real name.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I got in trouble with that one time. I asked for somebody and they said they're not here.
Yeah.
And I said, we'll try them under this name. They're not here.
Yeah.
So, well, I know they're here. I just talked to them.
Right.
Apparently, they had another name I didn't know about.
Right. So. That's the way it works. So, used to, though, honestly, you could walk up there, hey, I'm a pastor, and they would hand you the sheets, and you could go through them and look at them. Yeah. I don't know how we got on HIPAA law.
Hey, but I learned something.
There we go.
Maybe our listeners learned something.
Yeah.
Speaking of our listeners, we want to thank you guys so much. We have a few more ratings and reviews coming in.
Yeah.
So we're at 44 right now.
Yeah, we're inching closer to that great big prize we're going to
give
away.
50 goals. We still got to talk about that.
But we make promises on here that we don't even know how to keep them.
That's right. But it's going to be good.
Yeah,
right?
It's going to be really
good. It's got to be good.
Yeah, it will be good.
It's going to be a little more than a sticker.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Sure. Why not?
Yep.
So that's the way it's going to be. So we got 44. We need 6 more before the convention, and it'll be fun. And, you know, we've had John has had this experience, and I've had this experience. We've run into random people that we know, and they say, hey, man, I'm enjoying the podcast.
Yeah.
And then they'll say something like, well, I didn't send in a question, or I didn't ask for a sticker because I don't know if I'm your typical listener.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. Our typical listener is whoever's listening right now. You're our typical listener.
It is really odd because our little tagline is the imperfect church for the imperfect church and the pastors who lead them.
Right, yeah.
Right? So we're including the people that are in the church.
That's right.
It's all of the above.
That's right.
It's people in the pew and the pastors who lead them.
That's right.
It's not just for pastors.
Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in a sight.
Yeah, we have a lot of different... And we hear people all the time tell us of people that are listening that kind of shocks us, but it's good. We're glad that you're listening.
That's right. And hey, if you enjoyed this, share it with a friend. They don't have to be a pastor. If you're not a pastor, that's fine.
Right.
We've tried to make this as broad as possible.
Mm-hmm.
To maybe if you're not a pastor, I hope that this podcast is good to kind of help you get inside the mind of your pastor.
Yeah, right.
You know, sometimes,
and I hear that a lot because we've got some people in my church that listen to it. Very few.
That's right.
But they say I was glad to hear you say this, or you know, learning about our personalities,
maybe
in the way that we our philosophy of ministry.
Yeah, we've wrestled whether or not this is going to hurt our careers. Because, you know,
oh God,
it is what it is. So,
yes, and I'm afraid that it may hurt it more than it helps.
That's
it.
Right.
We'll
but,
see.
You know.
It's fun anyway.
It's fun. I enjoy it. So,
all right, we got to get started. Too much frivolity.
Frivolity. All right. Well, we are continuing our series today, Plain Theology for Practical Folks.
Practical theology
for plain folks.
That's right. Whichever way you want to look at it.
That's right. So, we're going to continue. We're kind of broadly going off of a systematic theology outline. So, we began by talking about Revelation. We took a kind of an excursion around Christmas time and talked about the incarnation. Then we talked about the attributes of God. And today we're going to talk about God's providence.
Yeah.
What does God do? We've talked about who he is,
sure,
his attributes. Now we want to talk about what he does.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for us, as we begin to lay a biblical foundation for this with the, you know, scriptural foundation, we have to begin with creation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, because we see the created order and all that that entails, and we know because of our belief system of scripture that God did create everything that we can experience, everything that we can see, that we can touch, that we can smell. We believe God created all of those things. But beyond that, the doctrine of God's providence says not only did he create them, but he also sustains
That's
them,
right, yeah.
right? And I think the testimony of creation helps us see that. But we see it throughout the Word of God as well. We can go even to Psalm 104, which is one of the great scriptures on providence that we'll talk about in just a moment. But beyond the Old Testament, even itself, Hebrews helps us to understand the preservation of creation by God. I'll read just these couple of passages of scripture if I can, Ryan. Is it okay if I read the Bible?
Go ahead. Read the Bible.
Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. And listen, through whom also he created the world. Mm-hmm. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have this picture here of the Godhead not only being involved in the creation, but right. also upholding. So we would
That's
say
right.
preserving or
keeping.
Providing for
That's right.
all of creation. So the scripture, the testimony, I mean, you honestly could go from Genesis to Revelation.
That's
I believe.
Right. Yeah. And I think Genesis tells us of God's creation. And then you go all the way through the Bible, speaking of God's providence and his sustaining power and reflecting on his creation and prophesying of his consummation.
Right.
And we come to the end, and that's exactly what's happening. God is recreating. He's reclaiming.
Yeah.
He's dealing with the issues that have arisen from evil and sin.
Right.
And so God's hands are all in Scripture, working and providing and sustaining and creating.
Yeah, yeah.
God is working in his providence.
Yeah, absolutely. And this brings about some great applications that we'll get to in just a little while. But I have the dead man today.
Yeah, I'm excited about this.
Right. You want to tell them who said it?
Yes, this is Saint Anselm.
Anselm. We had a little debate on how to say that earlier.
Medieval theologian. I'm actually writing my first real doctoral paper.
My second
colloquium on St. Anselm. So right. I may work on his Doctor of Providence. We'll see.
Well, this is what he says about the doctrine of providence that I think is fantastic. He says, "Only an unreasonable mind can doubt that all created things flourish and persist in their existence as long as they do, because they are sustained by what gave them existence in the first place." Did I read that right?
I think so.
Okay, go for it.
That's good, right?
It is good.
God is creating and God is sustaining, and it's hard for us not to see that when we look around at how the world works.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you think about it, you know, we can create something ourselves,
yeah.
and yet if we don't provide the upkeep, then it deteriorates quickly.
Yeah, sure.
And yet God is here providing upkeep, providence, and in that, he is proclaiming his existence and proclaiming his glory.
Yeah.
And I love, this kind of piggybacks off our dead man, I love how men of the faith have talked about God's providence and his mm-hmm. beauty and providence. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite quotes is by Jonathan Edwards, and he says, "All the beauty to be found throughout the whole creation, so all the beauty in all the world, is but the reflection of the diffused beams of that being who hath the infinite fullness of brightness and glory."
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
every aspect of beauty that we see in this world, every aspect of order that we see in this world are diffusions of God's infinite being and infinite order and infinite providence.
Yeah, sure.
It's good stuff.
It is. It absolutely is. And I love what Anselm says by saying, "To believe any other thing is an unreasonable man."
Yeah, unreasonable.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah. It's good stuff. So it is good. This is kind of the direction we're going to go today. We're going to talk about the providence of God, and what we want to do is divide the providence of God into three concepts.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about preservation. We're going to talk about concurrence, and we're going to talk about also
general providence, right?
So general providence.
That's
and,
right.
You know, there's some things we understand that we can't talk about in our time together.
Right.
And one of them that we were talking about earlier is the problem of sin.
Problem of evil.
I mean, we can't really get into that in our time together. Yeah. And so maybe we can do that another time. Maybe the next time we do a practical theology for plain people, theology for practical people.
We definitely, we're trying to hit the highlights of theology first, and so that way we can come back later, you know, and have a podcast to do in a year. So
let's talk about this first concept of the providence of God, preservation of God. What are we talking about, Ryan?
Yeah, I love Wayne Grudem has a very succinct definition of this, the preservation of God. He says, God keeps all created things existing and maintaining the properties with which he created them.
Yeah, and which is interesting because not only do we think about the preservation, but God is also keeping things in the existence in which he first made them exist.
Mm, yeah,
if that makes sense. Mm.
Yeah, so, and I love it. We talked about Edwards a second ago. Edwards writing on this, Edwards held to a view that everything exists in the mind of God so that he is simultaneously recreating every second.
Yeah.
And if he were to pull back that create, if we were to be removed from his mind, from his will, then we would just disintegrate into non-existence.
Yeah, and so God is not only preserving the world in the sense that he's continuing to let rain fall, continuing to reproduce vegetation.
That's right.
God is all involving in that. Mm-hmm. But God is also continuing to preserve rain.
Right.
He's continuing to preserve water in its form so that it can continue to fulfill its purpose as well. So I just think that's a, we might think it's a simple idea. Yeah, God's preserving things. He's creating, he's continuing to allow oxygen to be created so that we can breathe. But it's even bigger than that.
Right.
Oxygen is still containing the same purpose as it did from the very beginning because in God's mind, he is preserving those things.
Yeah.
So he's preserving purpose as well as
being.
That's
good. That's
it's pretty good.
That's pretty philosophical there, John.
Yeah, you know me.
Some philosophy in the morning. I like that.
You know me, the philosopher.
Yeah, so the truth of preservation is, yes, winter is coming, but so is spring.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The world is continuing to come, to spin. The axis of the world is continuing to go around. Yeah. These things are going to continue until God has an end for them.
Sure, yeah.
So, preservation.
Yeah,
God is preserving the world.
Yeah, I like that.
The next one is concurrence.
Yeah, concurrence is one that I had not really spent a lot of time thinking through until I started reading for today's episode. But you know, it's defined by concurrence. We mean that both God and his creatures work together to accomplish God's sovereign purposes in his world. So this means that God is working and people are working together in order to continue to sustain all that we have. So how does it defined in
right, yeah, Grudem is going to say something very similar. God cooperates with created things in every action, directing their distinctive properties to cause them to act as they do. In other words, the honeybees make the honey.
Right.
But they do so under the divine direction of God.
Sure, yeah.
Life itself, you know, we talk about how life works and how life comes about, and we see this is a concurrent action that we have. We have God working in and through the sperm and egg to create life. This is one of the ways in which we can talk about concurrence.
Yeah, I like one of the verses of scripture that you use for this is Psalm 127. And Psalm 127, it begins by saying this, says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain.
Yeah, that's good.
Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Mm-hmm. So there are these basic activities of human creation, but yet they're working together for the glory of God. The watchmen are watching, as a result of the Lord's providence and work in their lives. So that's good. Concurrence.
Yeah. And so concurrence is going to go, is going to apply to inanimate creation. So God causes it to rain, and yet at the same time, we understand how rain works, that water particles condense and create clouds, and then that turns into precipitation. And, you know, all those things happen, but yet we understand that they happen underneath the providence of God and God creating, God causing.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the good examples of this is the New Testament church.
Mm-hmm.
Because the New Testament church exists and is sustained and solely in the power of God.
Right.
I mean, we know that the gates of hell are not going to come against the church, right? I mean, it is there because of God has willed it to be so.
Yeah.
And yet God equips men and women with spiritual gifts so that the church might function as God intends for it to function.
Yeah.
So there is this, yeah, God is working it. He is sustaining it, but he's doing it through the giftedness of mankind. Right. Yeah. So there is this working together to accomplish this beautiful thing that we call the bride of Christ.
Yeah, that's right? Good. So it would be as if we were to say that God ordains not only the ends, but also the means.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So that's a good way to summarize it. And this is going to apply not only to inanimate creation, but it's going to apply to animals and random chance and all of these things. Everything that happens under the sun is done so underneath the providence of God.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So, it's good. So the next one is, you ready to move on from concurrence? You threw me off when you said general providence, because I was thinking governance.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. But either one of them.
That's
works,
good. That's
right?
Good. Governance.
So governance is the next one. Let's define that.
Yeah. You've got that one.
Oh, I have governance.
You've got governance.
Okay. Good deal. While God has so ordered his creation that he accomplishes his plan along with creaturely cooperation, we must not lose sight of the central biblical theme of God's governance or his rule over the universe.
Yeah. So bottom line, God is king.
Yeah, that's right.
God is the great let it be, right?
Yeah. So we're working together, but we can't lose sight of who is responsible.
Right.
Who's in charge.
And this is where, you know, we look at some trust in horses and chariots, what the psalmist says, but we trust in the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
And we can apply this to human governments.
Yeah, yeah.
That all power is derived power from God.
Right.
So that whether we talk about the government of United States of America or Russia or China or England or any of these places, those governments exist underneath the authority of God, and they will answer to God. The same goes for individuals. Individuals exist underneath the governance of God, and God governs all things well.
Right. I think so. And I think going back, I mentioned Psalm 104 earlier. Psalm 104 helps us to understand this governance maybe more so than anything else. Mm-hmm. Verse 9 of Psalm 104, which many people will know, says, "You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they may not again cover the earth," talking about the seas, right?
Yeah.
So God maintains the boundaries of the seas. Mm-hmm. In verses 10, it says, "You make springs gush forth in valleys, they flow between the hills." Verse 13 says, "From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works." We have this idea that ultimately God is the one that is governing all of creation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is not us that is sustaining everything that is around us. Mm-hmm. It is God that controls the rain, controls the drought. Mm-hmm. He controls all of everything that he's laid his hands to create.
Yeah, and a great book that wrestles with the ideas of providence is the book of Job.
Yeah, sure.
And so Job says in Job 12:23, he says that God makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and he leads them away.
Yeah.
Or the proverb, the king's heart is like a stream of water in God's hand.
Yeah.
God is exercising his providence over every aspect of creation.
Yeah, what's beautiful about that, particularly that Job passage, is Job is giving us that inside of a big picture, right, of 30,000 feet above.
Right.
But really, Job understood that truth applied to his personal life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, if God is governing everything that we see in the created order, that includes mankind as well.
Right.
So, and the bad things that Job experienced, the difficulties that Job had to walk through, he understood.
Mm-hmm.
It was underneath the governance of our God.
Yeah, and I think that's helpful. And that we're going to get into more of that when we get into application. But even understanding that God is provident over, exercises his providence over every single aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
Everything that we do, the man purposes steps, but God is the one that carries them out.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
We may plan, but what does James say? You ought to say, "If the Lord wills,"
sure,
because we are vapors. We are wind, and yet God is the one who is providing and who is exercising his providence and his will over his creation.
Yeah, you know, I think that's good. Do you say that, "Lord willing"?
I do.
Like if somebody says, "Hey, I'll see you tomorrow," and you say, "Lord willing."
I do, but it's turned into something that I just say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been saying it for
a long time. I never say that, but I think every time I have these thoughts, I think, you know, that's the truth.
Right.
You know, "Lord willing, if the Lord is willing for me to record the next podcast, I will."
That's right. Right. I don't say it super holy. I say it like as I hope so, you know. "Lord willing, I'll do that."
Yeah.
It just kind of turned into a cultural thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Just curious.
Yep. So let's talk about some dangers when it comes to providence. There's some boundaries of providence, understanding providence, that we must not
set up some guardrails.
Some guardrails, right?
Yeah. So I think the first danger that we have when we start talking about providence is we consider the providence of God in a deistic view.
Yeah.
So that is that God has set all of these things in order. Mm-hmm. He has turned the clock.
Yep.
He has set the time.
Wound it up.
He has put it on a shelf.
Let that bad boy go alone,
right? That's right. Mm-hmm. So the sense that in God's providential nature, it's a hands-off providence. It's a hands-off. He's no longer intimately involved in the created order. And I think we can take providence too far. Mm-hmm. And have these deistic ideas.
Yeah, and then the flip side of that is fatalism.
It is.
The other side of it is that God does all things and you and I are mere robots just going along with the flow.
Yeah. And I've had experience with just recently with a gentleman that I've had conversations with, and I've told him that this is his belief system is fatalism.
Yeah.
It's not Christianity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's fatalism. Right. It's this idea that if God wills it, then it will happen, and we have no role at all to play in the matter.
Right.
And I know this is hard for us because we want to rely on fatalism when we pray for someone to be healed.
Yeah.
And they're not. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, we see groups praying for someone to be healed, and they are. Mm-hmm. If you're not careful, you slippery slope to, we're damned if we do or we're damned if we don't kind of deal. Yeah. It's this idea that what's going to happen is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Then let it be, mm-hmm. And that's a danger.
Yeah, and it goes back to what we said when we were talking about preservation, that God ordains both the ends and the means.
Right.
If we said that God only ordains the ends, then that is deism, right?
Yeah.
God has wound it up and it'll happen. Whatever happens, happens, right?
Yeah.
Or God ordains only the means.
Yeah.
That's going to be deism. The first one is fatalism, right?
Yep.
So we've got to hold both of those together, that not only does God ordain the end.
Yes.
He knows what will happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And causes it to happen.
Yeah.
Or allows it to happen at the same time.
Sure.
There are means in which he has ordained as well, which we are responsible for.
And going back to that Job passage, that's what Job is saying. Mm-hmm. Job is saying, I am satisfied in the means because I know who is handling the governance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's hard for us. I get it.
Right.
I mean, standing in a pulpit is easy to declare, but living it is difficult.
Right.
But we have to be satisfied as Job was in the end and the means.
Yeah.
And deism and fatalism are both dangerous ends, I think, of the spectrum. I think there's another danger. I think another danger is pantheism,
which
is saying not only are we worshiping the God of the sustaining order, but we somehow begin to worship the order itself.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I love that's what's so interesting about Hollywood and some of these Hollywood does and can become increasingly secular, but we understand that a basic secular worldview is boring.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we find out they start slipping in spiritual ideas here and there, and it's often this idea of the universe working, right?
Yeah.
And so it's almost what are you going to do? It's the universe,
And
or even a worship of the universe, a worship of creation in a sense that all these things make up God.
Right, right.
And we as believers have a better way than that.
Yeah, but this is not a new problem.
Oh, no.
I mean, mankind has been worshiping the creation for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course scripture teaches against it because it knew it was such a popular thing during Old Testament and New Testament. That was the worship of creation instead of worship of God. We do this talking about things that we say.
Right.
We say things like Mother Nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in essence, what we're saying is that the creation itself is in charge.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Mother Nature is being good to us, or Mother Nature is being bad to us. We're ascribing something to creation itself that it does not deserve.
Yeah.
So that's another, I think, issue. And of course, as Eastern religions become more and more popular, it's Hinduism and Buddhism both have this pantheistic idea, and so as those become more popular, they're going to become more popular around us as well. Mm-hmm. So we need to be careful that we don't take it that far.
That's right. Yep. So let's talk about some applications. What does it mean for the everyday person? It's Tuesday morning when this hits.
Yeah.
What does it mean for them that God is exercising his providence over all of creation?
Yeah, you know, the first word I want to say is the word rest.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, I mean, we can rest. Mm-hmm. It's rained a lot in Mississippi.
That's right.
Over the last several months. And, you know, our delta is flooded.
Yeah.
And a lot of the crops that people planted, mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to plant. You know, so corn is going to be outrageous in the future, mm-hmm. I would think, because there's not going to be as much because of the floods. So anyway, what I'm saying, though, is that we can be comforted in the one that brought the rain can also make the rains pass away.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we can be confident that the one that has brought the drought, he is the same one that will bring the rain. Mm-hmm. He's the same one that will bring the drought. And so, you know, it's almost a sense that we don't have to work to please the sun or the moon as to get favorable weather.
That's right.
We can be patient and rest in the God that is providentially caring for all of creation. We can find peace there.
Yeah, Jesus said it when he said, "Your Father in heaven knows what you need." Does he not care? Does he not care for the sparrows?
Sure.
The ones that are worth two for a penny, right?
Yeah.
Will he not care for you? And I think we have to frame this idea of God's providence within the New Testament idea of redemption.
Yeah.
Why should we rest? Well, we can only rest in the hands of an almighty God if we understand that in Christ, all things work together for the good of those who love him.
Man, we are being kept in Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's part of God's providential plan.
I love it. We mentioned Edwards today. Edwards has two kind of references to being in the hands of God, two popular ones. The most popular one is sinners in the hands of an angry God.
Right.
This is not a good picture. Right, we talk. Edwards uses the description of a spider being held on a web, and the flames of hell licking up, and the only thing that stops him from falling into the hell is the hand of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wrote a letter to his daughter who was sick and struggling, and he said, "You need to understand that you're in the hands of God."
Yeah.
In other words, if we are in the hands of God in the person of Jesus, we can rest.
Yeah, sure.
We can understand that he is in control.
Yeah. And yeah, I think another application is, and it's similar to that one as well, is that we can surrender ourselves to this God.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our lives, as you said from James, are like vapors. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a mist. They're here one moment, and they're here the next. The earth has been here much longer than any of us will be here.
Yeah.
God has obviously done a good job of sustaining it thus far.
Yeah.
Why do we not believe that he will not continue to sustain us?
That's right.
So we can surrender our life to God, knowing that he is able. He is able to providentially care for us.
Yeah, that's good. And I would add contentment.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Contentment is a good area. You know, it's easy for us to complain against the rain and forget who sent it. It's easy for us to complain about our situation and forget who ordered our steps.
Yeah.
For us, we're both younger. It's easy for us to say, "Lord, how come I don't have this?" Or "How come I'm not doing this?"
Right.
And the idea is God has ordained our steps. Mm-hmm. He has us exactly where he wants us. Mm-hmm. And so we must exercise contentment as a way in which we worship him for exercising his providence.
Yeah. So I have a question.
Okay.
We're done, right?
Yeah, I reckon.
So what do you think in let's just say Southern modern Christianity?
Uh-huh.
What do you think the biggest issue is as far as providence? Deism or fatalism? Where do you feel like the cultural Christian falls? Is he more of a deist, or is he more of the fatalist side?
I'm gonna say a functional deist.
Yeah.
Because usually it's this idea of the good old boy idea. There is a God. He's done something, and perhaps he will end it somehow.
Yeah.
But everything I do here, as long as I'm good,
he's
gonna be good to me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. So we agree.
How about that?
Yeah, that's high five.
That's good. That's good stuff.
I was thinking, though, because we do not really have a good grasp of the providence of God. I really believe that and this is why we cry to God and we go to God in times of desperation and not in the everyday things. Because we know he exists, but we're not real sure that he's involved in everything.
Right.
If he's involved in every aspect of our life.
Yeah, which is good. So interesting, because you talk about cultural expressions we say. How many times have you heard somebody say, Someone gets really sick and they recover, or someone has a near-death car accident.
Yeah.
And culturally, what do we say? Well, I guess it wasn't their time.
Yes, right. Yeah, yeah.
We have an idea of that. There's a time to live, and there's a point at once for man to die, and then after that, the judgment.
Yeah.
We still live in that haunted Bible South.
Yeah.
And that's an idea of God's providence.
Yeah. And another danger, I guess, of the providence would be chance as well.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, they sure are lucky.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, man, you sure were lucky.
That's why we at Midway Baptist Church, we don't have pot lucks.
Oh, yeah.
We have pot providences. You like that?
Whatever.
You like that?
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Right. That's right. Well, I'll tell you another one. We talk about providence, and it's appointed man wants to die. I ain't looking for no undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm going to be raptured, baby. You like that?
I do. I love it.
I said that I said that the other day, and my wife stopped what she was doing. Usually, she just ignores my foolishness. Yeah. She stopped what she was doing. She looked at me, and she said, "What's wrong with you?"
So, never say that again.
That's right. That's right.
All
right.
Well, I'm not reading anything additionally except for the same one we were reading last time we were together, and that is The Dragon and the Lamb.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's good. It's good.
Good. Good.
Yeah, that was a good choice we made, Ryan.
That's right. That's right. I offered it, and you made it, right? Yeah. So I'm reading An Introduction to the Early Church Fathers.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. It's just kind of an overview of each early church father and mother's life. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I just read before I came here, the life of Origen. So,
Origen.
Yep. Pretty cool. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we appreciate you being with us today. If you like our podcast, please like, rate, and review us on iTunes. If we get to that big 50, we're going to do a big giveaway before the Southern Baptist Convention. So, until then, keep loving your imperfect church, and remember, one day she will be perfected in glory.